other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, May 20th, and we're back, as always.
All back.
Except when we're not here.
We're here, a problem when we're not.
I know. Which is, yeah, it seems like the past couple of weeks we've been away more than we've been here. But what can I say? You know, I mean, I like to sleep in if I can.
Right.
But so when there's no guest, it's easy to get out of it, you know?
No, definitely.
But I look forward to the show and stuff. You know, the funny thing is when I go to bed at 3:30 in the morning, I'm like thinking, God, I can't wait to get up already so I can do more things.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, come 8 o'clock and the clock goes off and I'm like, oh, God.
And then your eyes will barely open. It's like, no, I don't want to get up.
They keep closing back and you go, what the hell is going on, you know?
Yeah. And right now I've run out of coffee filters and I haven't had a chance to go to the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't been drinking coffee. And it's
Wow. So
oh,
you're half asleep. Well, you get up early. I guess you could have had like Starbucks or something, right?
You know, I hate giving money to Starbucks.
Really?
Because I just think it's so overpriced.
Yeah.
So overpriced. The only thing I get there is an iced chai latte.
Yeah. That you can't get anywhere else. Or
yeah.
Right?
And well, you can get it at like Coffee Bean or those other places.
Right.
But I prefer Starbucks because I can't really make it like they make it.
Right. Exactly. That's what I mean.
But yeah. So, but a latte or whatever else.
Right.
Even if I really like it. Even those in college, I used to get the Frappuccinos.
Yeah.
That are like 10 million calories.
Yeah. They're very
sweet.
When
I was swimming, I could drink that and feel
really,
okay. Huh? But now it's like, okay, I can't eat anything for the rest of the week.
Wow.
If I drink that.
Really? It's that fattening? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Terrible.
I never realized that.
So bad for you. Bad for you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll have just one this summer.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I'll probably plan out when I'm going to have one. Yeah. When it's like vacation time. It's like, okay, I can have it when it's vacation time because I'm supposed to gain weight then.
Yeah. Or just not eat
expected.
The whole day.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, man. So, Starbucks is overpriced. There's no doubt about
it.
So
overpriced.
You know? But they've, they've made it, you know. I mean, they sort of like brought a coffee culture to this country, mm-hmm. which we didn't have before, you know. Like Europe, I mean, that's totally a coffee culture.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, people sit at cafes outside on the sidewalks and, you know, and have pastry and cake and stuff like that. Here we don't have that, you know. So, and the only coffee people would drink before Starbucks would just be that drip that you have at home with the machine, you know.
Right.
So,
but I would rather sit at like a little quaint cafe and drink that coffee than go to Starbucks.
Really?
I really would.
Really?
I really would, yeah. Did you ever go to the it was like a fake Starbucks, like a parody of Starbucks in Los Feliz.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was. The dumb Starbucks or something like that. And everything was free.
Really?
You didn't pay. Everything was like kind of a donation.
Right.
Like if you wanted to donate money to them. Eventually they got closed down. But I
mean,
the lines were around the block.
Yeah.
To get
in
there.
Well, I'm sure, yeah, for free, you know. But yeah, how long can you maintain that business model, you know?
But I guess because they did everything right they found the loophole.
Mm-hmm.
So where they could do this and not charge and not take their name and their logo, even though they were.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. We're getting a lot of phone calls here. I'm wondering if it's all for our guest who's sitting here very patiently. We'll get to her in a second. But if she tweeted, that's probably her fans. Even a Nevada number here, I'm sure it's somebody that you know. So we'll see. But someone started calling before we got on the air, you know. So if you guys are calling for our guest, just be patient for a few minutes. I really don't like to take callers, you know. They always take you in a different direction, you know. So I'd rather just go on with the show. So just a couple things before we get to our fascinating talkative guest. Did you hear about this actor from The Shield that... I mean, I don't know him. I've never watched the show.
No, I've never watched it either.
But his name is Michael Jace, and he played a Los Angeles cop. And I guess his wife was found shot to death in their home. And they're saying that... So he's suspected in the murder. And they're saying that they believe it's domestic violence or something.
That's never good. It's like that, what was that guy's name that had the beautiful supermodel wife? Were they in Australia or New Zealand? We've spoken about it before. Can't think of the name. Africa, yes. Pistoria? Yeah.
Oh, in Pistoria. South it's in South Africa, right?
Yeah. Like that kind of story.
Right. Yeah.
It's all the...
I know.
Thank you.
I know. All the... Domestic violence and stuff, you know,
and like
it's
controversy
terrible.
Around.
It just shows you that, you know, I mean, women are still viewed as less than, you know, because otherwise you wouldn't treat them that way.
Completely. You know? I interviewed a boxing reporter the other day, a beautiful, beautiful girl, stunning, and just saying about how she doesn't get tread right because these guys just don't, especially in such a masculine sport like boxing.
Right.
But I mean, she is so knowledgeable. She knows her stuff. She's so passionate. Uh-huh. She wants to make a change for the sport of boxing. But she just doesn't, they don't treat her right at
right.
all.
Yeah.
And it's just sad.
Yeah.
It's really
it
sad.
Really is. You would think by today, you know, I mean, by now things would have changed. But, you know, I guess you're always going to have that.
Yeah.
You know,
so hopefully she was. Not.
Yeah.
Hopefully not always.
I know. So he acted in 89 episodes. So
was it Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It's called The Shield.
Oh, it's just called The Shield.
Yeah. That was a police drama or something, you know. I remember it. But
it's interesting because when you play a cop, it's like you carry a gun and
right. Know. Who knows and what happens to like, these people in their lives, you know? But look, I guess this stuff happens all the time. It's just when it's somebody famous, then we talk.
Everyone
about
hears
it.
About it. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of domestic violence, and it's unfortunate, you know. And the funny thing is some women actually beat up their men, you know. Have you heard of that? I mean, sometimes you have, like, the reverse domestic violence.
Yeah.
You know? Some women are crazy.
I know. And because when you think of cheating, too, you think of infidelity, you think of the male.
Right.
But women do it, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Somebody has to be doing it with those men, right? Yeah. And women are looking for their satisfaction, too, today. I think they demand it. And, you know, so if you go out and cheat on someone, you can expect the same back if you don't get your ass kicked out the door, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've made a conscious decision early in my life when I was cheated on when I was like 16, you know, like my first relationship.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I just like, I decided, you know, no cheating for me. You know, I can't do this to somebody else.
Right.
It's very painful, you know.
And it's funny because even when you're young, I mean, the same with me, it was in college.
Yeah.
And I mean, my parents have, my father cheated on my mom. So it's always been like ingrained, like you just don't do that. Like I would never want to hurt like I saw my mom.
Right.
But then I went through it in college. It's like I would never put somebody through that. Ever.
Yeah. I know. It's terrible, you know. Yeah. And some people, and another thing I don't understand is when people do this and the spouse will still take them back, you know. I mean, what the hell is that about?
Right.
You know, I can sleep with someone who slept with someone else.
Yeah.
You know? And and the lying, you know, the lying.
I think that's
this,
the main
you know?
Part. When
it's like you conspire with another person, you know, and it feels like, oh, it's her and this guy I don't know, and here I am
living
you know?
Another life.
Exactly,
that you don't know about
how much worse can you feel, you know, especially for a man, you know, who wants to feel like manly and everything, not to minimize how a woman feels about it. But for a man to feel like, you know, there's a certain possessiveness there and to feel that some other man entered his wife or his girlfriend or something is pretty pretty lousy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, God.
Not fun. Yeah. Not fun.
And they're saying that women do it more for the emotional part of it. I'm not sure so much, you know? I mean, I think women would do it for sex just as much, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, so this guy charged with that. And there's a few other things that I don't really care about. so we won't touch on them. There was just a few funny thing here. Okay, well, never mind, because we have a great guest here in the studio who's waiting here very patiently, I might add. And her name is Kayla Jane Danger. Meow. Welcome to the show. Yeah. Actually, I better bring this up because I have to remember your name. It's three names. It's hard to remember in the morning.
In the morning, because you haven't had your coffee either. Yeah. But it sounds so nice. It flows.
It does flow, you know, definitely. So when did you come up with the name?
Well, Kayla's been my name forever.
Oh, really? Since you were born? I mean,
not
how long?
Since I was born, but it's been a nickname for forever.
Really? Okay.
I hated the nickname that came along with my real name, so I just was like, someone else give me a new name, please.
Did you use it, or did someone else?
No, someone else gave it to me, and then I just took that and used it forever.
It's a nice name. I like it.
Yeah, and then the Jane Danger kind of was like an evolution. It slowly kind of came about, and then it stuck. And yeah. It's perfect, and it's been like that forever now.
Really? Wow. But I mean, how many years ago did you actually adopt the complete name?
Well, I would say probably around like 9 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, so you've had it for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
This is about to be, I'm going to reveal my age. Oh my goodness. I'm turning 28 in a few weeks. So that'll be 10 years in the adult industry.
Wow. My God, you're so old.
I know. Especially reveal in my age. Yeah. I work with these girls and I'm like, oh my God, you're 18.
I mean, if you can't reveal you're 28, there's a problem, you know?
Yeah, now people are going to go on all these websites and be like, but it says she's 22. I'm like, that's how old I was when the pictures were taken.
Wow.
I'm forever every age on the internet. You can find me at every single, like 18, 19, 20, 21, like all the way up till now.
Wow. So now, I mean, this begs the question, Kayla. I mean, so you started at 18. That means right out of high school. How do you, is this something you've wanted to do and just waited till you're 18? Because I know it sometimes happens, right?
I was a total exhibitionist. I've always been that way. I've always been very well aware of my sexuality in general. And I wasn't afraid to explore it or entertain, you know, kind of the wild ideas. And I was like, well, as soon as I turn 18, like, then I can, you know, really do whatever I want. So I was lucky enough to know a bunch of girls that, had just started a website, which was burningangel.com. And I knew a lot of the girls that were on it. I was like, this sounds great. I get to take my clothing off and get paid and pretty pictures and like.
How did you know the girls on there? I mean, because you weren't in the industry then.
Correct. Or? I was a go-go dancer, an underage go-go dancer. Oh, my God. In New York City. I was not a stripper. You know, I was just a go-go. Yeah. But, you know, these were people that I hung out with that were out at the clubs. And then they were like, you should totally, like, take pictures for this site. And I was like, well, I'm underage, so I don't think that's going to happen. But and then they were like, well, when you turn 18, as soon as you turn 18, just give
us a holler. So you were smart enough to know, I'm underage, I shouldn't do
Oh, yeah. No, I was well aware. And I was also well aware of, because I guess I had been aware of the male gaze for long enough. You know, you're a girl growing up in New York City and you have men leering at you when you're like in fifth grade.
Right.
So you're well aware of what is wrong and what is okay. And your parents teach you that like very young. Like, you know, like it's nice to have a boy in school that thinks you're cute. But if an older man does, like, run, run, run. So even as like a teenager going with, you know, like I had friends that would be like hooking up with 21 year olds and they're 16. And I'm like, that's not. No, that's just not okay.
I know, and guys do that. I don't know how they take that chance, you know. I mean, you can sit in jail for that, you know.
When my brother turned 18, he started checking IDs because I was like, I don't ever want to hear about you getting in trouble because you made some dumb mistake with some girl who has a fake ID.
Yeah.
Like, so he started checking IDs when he went to college.
Really? Good for him.
Sounds like you come from a smart family, because I know a lot of people, a lot of guys would not think about that. It would be like, oh, I trust that you're saying that you're 18,
I tried to
19.
Teach my brother very well. I was more like an older brother to him than an older sister, where I was like, these are the real world sex rules. These are the real, like, don't be stupid. I just, you know, if you're going to get in trouble for something smart, not for something totally, totally dumb.
Wow. So where did you guys grow up? Do you have only the one brother? Or do you have other siblings?
Yeah, I only have one brother. And we grew up in New York. And
New York City?
Westchester and Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's not... Westchester's not too far, right?
No, not at all.
I know somebody who moved there.
It's a crazy, weird place that I would never go back to.
Really? It's pretty small, right?
Yeah, which is why, like, I mean, the second that I was naked on the internet, the entire town knew. And
oh,
it was,
my
like,
God.
The talk of the town, like, oh, my God. Oh my God. And it's like the most entertaining voyeur situation where all of a sudden your entire town is like looking at you under a microscope. And I'm like, I really don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, that's what I want you to
watching,
do.
I'm watching. Not to mention, exhibitionist. I'll totally take your money. Join my website. Like, please go for it. Like, right. I've seen so many names I know show up on that CC Bill list. Like, I know where you're from. I know where you're from.
Oh, wow. So that's pretty cool. And so you grew up there. Did you have a nice childhood? I mean, were your parents together?
Yeah, my parents are still together. They've been together, it'll be, I think, 34 years this year.
Wow.
They're magical. And yeah, they totally support what I do. They support my business. They think it's rad. You know, as
Whoa,
long as I'm happy,
cool.
they're happy,
that's
which is
awesome.
Great. Like, they're super old, like, liberal hippies. So
yeah,
I gotta
that's
be
the
thankful
thing. Yeah,
that.
So they sort of go along with everything. You
yeah.
know, it's like, yeah, because we did everything. How can we tell our kids not to, right?
That's definitely a part of it. My mom's a total businesswoman. My dad's an artist. And they're like, you've managed to bring the two together and do what you love. And I'm like, exactly. This is awesome. I mean, my dad is so supportive. I just had this movie that I was in, Pleasure or Pain, that just was showing on Cinemax for a few weeks. My dad recorded it on TiVo and then watched it and would basically like fast forward through the sex scene.
Really? Wow.
And then go back to watching it. He's like, I was so proud of you. You're such a great
Aww.
Actress.
Oh my God. Wow. But that's pretty, I mean, that takes an open mind.
It
right?
absolutely does. Definitely. But at the same time, I mean, they've had years to kind of come to terms
That's
with it.
True.
They
right.
found out very it. Early. And after that, I was kind of like, listen, I will teach you. I will tell you what I'm doing. I will keep you apprised of, you know, any changes in my career path. And
right.
and they've been there to support the entire thing.
Right.
Did you tell them? Is that how they... Oh,
no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. My brother found out first because some asshole in their school decided to print out all of, like, my pictures for my
oh,
first
my
photo
gosh.
Set. And then, by
now,
the way,
did you
do
think-
something illegal by throwing the porn in the middle of the cafeteria.
Wow.
I mean, mind you, it was like tits and ass. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think I even took my panties off in that first set, but still, that's like tits and ass everywhere. And then all of a sudden, one
school.
Of my brother's friends goes right. up to him with like a picture and is like, so your sister, isn't it? My brother's like, I'm a fucking killer.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, so he calls me and he's like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And he's like crying. And I'm trying to explain to him. I'm like, well, I really liked it and I really want to keep doing this. And so I'm not going to get it taken down. And like, right. you're going to need to learn how to deal with this. I'm like, but don't tell mom and dad. And they actually ended up finding out because one of their supposed friends had found out through the grapevine and then was like, ring, ring. So we didn't want to be the ones to tell you, but.
Oh my God.
Your daughter's naked on the internet. Yeah. And yeah, and they just blew it up from there. And then my parents called me for a family meeting. They're like, you need to come home right now.
Wow.
And I was living, you know, I was living away from them. So I come home and we have a nice like talk over dinner. Like, yes, I got paid. No, they're not using me. I'm not being trafficked. Like, this was my choice.
Wow. So you had to explain.
Absolutely.
Now, so now where did this like desire to that exhibitionism comes from? Where do you think?
I make jokes and I blame my parents because my dad is French and we definitely were raised, you know, like I was running around in just the bottoms, like bathing suit bottoms at the beach and at the pool and whatever, yeah. which I got in trouble at school on the like
yeah.
you know, pool day or whatever. In the U.S., that doesn't go over so well. But to me, my body was always like there was nothing wrong with it. I was never taught to feel shame about my body.
Right.
So I was like, I just want to show it off.
Wow.
And as soon as I had a body to show off, I was like, this is great. So I was, you know, I love to dance. I love to, you know, obviously I worked on my body. I cared about my body. So it was just always a part of me. And then once I got the opportunity to do it, like, yeah, take more and more off. Now it doesn't have to be an itsy bitsy bikini. Now it can just be I'm naked and doing whatever I want.
Wow.
Right.
See, that's cool. I mean, I don't know that I could do that. I mean, I know that at home when I change, I have to make sure all the blinds are closed so nobody can even see through the cracks.
I'm the polar opposite. I've got like all the windows open. I work out naked sometimes at home. I just, yeah, I love being naked.
You enjoy people watching you and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
You got it flaunted, right?
Right, exactly. I will be very happy to look back at these pictures one day and be like, look at me and my hot ass naked all over the place. Like, that was the day.
Now, you know, some people might say, you know, at 18 our judgment is not that great. I mean, we're still kids and stuff, right?
I absolutely agree with this. And to be honest, I actually don't book girls who are under 21 for my websites or for my projects, purely because even I, you know, there was one video that I made when I was probably just 18 that I ended up buying back, and I was lucky enough to be able to do that because a lot of people aren't. It was a girl scene, and then I just realized that that scene in particular wasn't something that I wanted out there, and I was, like I said, lucky, and they let me, you know, work it off in different ways and pay it back. But because of that, that really made me kind of take a step back and be like, most girls don't have the understanding of what they're doing or, you know, the full potential ramifications. Even myself, like, I, you know, I own my company, but still, if I were to, for some reason, like, I could no longer do porn, my company gets shut down or something terrible happens, I mean, what do I write on my resume? I write that I owned a porn company for several years. I write that, you know, I've directed, I've written scripts, I've worked for other, like, you know, another porn company during these years. But am I really going to write that on a resume to go into, not that I would ever go into corporate America, but a lot of these girls, that is their other option.
That's
or, you know,
true. And it's I always say it's a one-way door, you know. I mean,
and they can't write director
there.
Or they can't write I owned a company. They can write I was in 500, you know, like blow
scenes,
bangs.
Yeah.
But like, that's, what is that going to get you? It really depends on how you parlay your, you know, your activity in the industry,
that's
what you want to do with it.
But so my question is, at that age, did you understand the ramifications already?
Yes, I absolutely did.
So you're still okay with it?
I had been slut-shamed in high school for just being a girl who was cute. Like, at that point, like, I could care less what other people said about me. It was more like, and the other thing about the industry, I've always been a tattooed girl. I started getting tattoos when I was 15, and even that shuts you off from a certain portion of, you know, of work in general. And from that point, I told my parents, I told myself, I wouldn't want a job where they don't accept me as I am, with my tattoos, for my tattoos, regardless. Right. And it's the same thing with being naked. Like, I have worked for other people since I've been naked on the internet, including mainstream companies. And, you know, some of them just don't know what I do. Some of them don't care.
Right.
Like, if I need to go by a different name, I go by a different name. I mean, I host this car rally, Gold Rush rally. They don't care. They love that I'm, you know, they're like, whatever. She's the hottest girl. She's naked, whatever. Who cares? Like, she loves cars. That's really all that matters.
Cool. So, I mean, we'll continue all that. I just want to ask you about some of your projects and everything.
Yeah.
Now, so you're a director now, too, and a producer and a writer and everything.
Yes, everything.
Wow. When did that, did you start that at the beginning, or did you get some acting out of the way first?
Well, I had been performing for, I guess, a few years, and I had helped start another website, another company. And after I left that company, I kind of realized I need to do something on my own. And from there, you start having to kind of just figure out for yourself how to produce, how to direct, how to edit, how to do everything. And then as the years went on and I started making more involved, you know, featurettes and vignettes and movies, I really got into directing and writing and cinematography, rather than just kind of like, whatever, I have this pretty idea in my head and I'm going to make it happen. It became more of a process. And then this past year was when I wrote my first feature, which was Carrie's Secret for Philly Films. And that was like the perfect culmination of years and years of practice. Like, okay, let's put this into effect. And that was how I got a feature film, which is like 2 hours long in 3 days.
Wow,
in 3 days?
So the name of the film is what?
Carrie's Secret.
Carrie's Secret.
Yes.
And is it out yet?
Yes, it is out. You can find it all over the internet, but you can go to phillyfilms.com or combatzone.com, and you can buy it straight from them. And it's fantastic. It's a lesbian kind of love story, but it's also pretty messed up. Deals with some, you know, some secret fetishes and some betrayal. Because I like making messed up movies. Yeah.
But at least there's a story to it. I mean, coming from a woman, you're not just concerned with the hardcore scenes, but you want to have a setting to
There is definitely a story, and it's a compelling story, at least in my opinion. But there's also, don't get me wrong, these are awesome sex scenes. They're actually pretty long sex scenes because it's a very involved, like, I stayed true to my foot fetish fans, and I really made a movie that kind of touched on a few different fetishes that are related to feet and footwear. And I was as true to them as I possibly could be, because one of my biggest pet peeves is seeing porn that claims to be for a certain fetish, but the people have no clue what they're dealing with. So they make it like this 2-second addition to the sex, but that's not what it's about.
Right.
So my movie has like full foot worship scenes as foreplay kind of before they go into sex. And then the feet are used as part of the, you know, like in the threesome, like one girl's using a foot to get herself off while the other girl's sitting on someone else's face.
Fascinating, this foot fetish, you know. I mean, for years I've wondered about this because it's, or since, you know, since I found out about it a long time ago. But the fascination is amazing. I mean, right? Because some people are into like stinky socks and stinky feet and all that stuff. So, and you know, and I don't know, my personal opinion, and I've met people that feel the same way, the feet are not that attractive, you know. I mean, they get dirty. Yeah, they get dirty. You know, we walk on them. You know, and they're not as clean as our hands.
But they're so sensitive.
Yeah, that's true. How when you tickle them and stuff. That's true.
Exactly. And there are people who are just into foot tickling. There are people who are just into massaging feet or feeling feet on their body. People who want to be walked on or stepped on.
Yeah. Wow.
Like,
that's
amazing. There are so many facets. And it's really, like, people kind of just lump them all together. But they're very different, and not everyone likes all of the above when it comes
That's
to
true, huh? So it's like, it's amazing all the kinks that people have in their minds, you know.
I love it. That's one of my favorite parts about being in this industry.
Really?
I mean, because I really started kind of on the fetish side of the industry, I'm always so fascinated by what gets people off. And obviously, because I don't perform in hardcore porn, so I like to know all those other things. Like, I'm there for the people who are like, nobody makes porn for me, or no one makes attractive porn for me, because some of the amateur stuff out there, I'm just not.
It's terrible, huh?
Like, people should have high quality, gorgeous, like, glamour porn for every, you know, every fetish, for every option. Wow. Although I won't do everyone. I try to help.
So you've been doing this for 10 years and you haven't done any hardcore?
Nope.
Really? Wow. Good for you. So you've like sort of like created a brand for yourself, right? Where
Absolutely.
People follow you, not necessarily for the hardcore scenes, but
they
the way you
see
look,
me
the
naked,
way,
or they want to see, you know, some of them it's just my POV scenes where, you know, I'm kind of interacting with them, whether it's like a sensual scene or a domination scene, something like that. Then I have the people who, you know, they love my lesbian foot worship videos because they're beautiful, they're hot girls, they're whatever. They can imagine, like, they see me sucking on a toe or a foot, they can mentally put a cock in there and, you know, dream about it all day long, which there are plenty of people that do. I mean, I have people who are like, I'm not really into feet, but your website is really hot. And like, I've been a member, and that's just like, you know, there's still girls making out, feeling each other up. And now actually the site is getting a little more hardcore. There are girls masturbating while they get their feet worshipped. And like, it will start kind of going in a more hardcore direction. I will not be performing in hardcore, but I will be directing it still.
Wow, that's amazing. So this is a conscious decision you made early on.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think that's part of why I've been able to last in this industry for so long and be able to really kind of rely on myself for, I mean, yes, I still shoot for magazines and for some other companies, like, but at the same time, I make my money, I work for myself, and I don't need to rely on the industry. If, you know, during a moratorium when everyone else is screwed for like a few weeks, I can keep shooting because I'm shooting softcore.
That's true. Yeah. And that's why I think it's also probably easier for your family to accept that than if you, you know, you're out there.
I mean, don't get me wrong. My dad still every once in a while is like, is there a point when you're going to stop getting naked? And I'm like, but I love being naked.
God, I can't imagine if my daughter was like that. I feel so bad for
that. That's the other thing. I get people who, like, they don't even understand how, you know, I've been in a relationship for 6 years, and he's watched my entire, you know, my company grow and my, right, you know, everything kind of.
But you don't have sex with other men, so it's
easier. No, and I don't perform with men. But at the same time, there are plenty of guys that I know who are just like, I would never be able to date someone like that. And I've had guys that I've dated who are like, I can't handle this.
Really?
I can't deal with this. Whether it's their friends who are like, I just jerked off to your girlfriend last night.
Oh,
you're like,
I see,
seriously?
Yeah.
How mature are you? Yeah. Like, come on, keep that shit to yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's just.
Plus, guys do it. Yeah. I mean, guys, no even reason. When they're not in porn, they do, you know, they masturbate to their friend's girlfriend.
There you go. It's yeah. not just my fault.
You don't have to stay in porn.
So your boyfriend is super supportive?
He's absolutely supportive. He's actually worked on some of my sets doing lighting and stuff, which is fantastic. Yeah. And he's actually shot some, you know, picture sets and stuff for my site. But I asked him in the beginning if he would be, you know, like how he would feel about it, because he was the first person that I was like, I actually kind of care what you think.
Wow.
Shit. And luckily he was like, you know, this is a big part of you. I'm not going to say, no, you can't do this or whatever. Do your thing. And, you know, as long as you're happy with it and whatever, I'll be there to back you.
Good
and,
for you. But,
yeah. Right.
But then again, I'm saying it's a lot easier when you don't
when you're
do
not,
hardcore.
Yeah, when you're not screwing dudes. And yeah. You're not, yeah.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's a whole different ballgame. 6 years would be a long time, you know. Well, good for you. I mean, you know, I know of some women that are like that. They don't do any, like, either action scenes or maybe girl-girl or something, but that's as far as they'll go. And they build a brand that way, you know, because people constantly want to see more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And you kind of tease them about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then you decided, I guess, that you're going to get into the production part of it and behind the scenes and everything. So this is pretty cool. How many shots do you think you've scenes you've shot so far, or how many?
Well, on mydollparts.com currently there are, I want to say, probably like 150 scenes that are up, like vignettes that are up, and then there are another like 40 or so that are waiting to go up, and then the movie Carrie's Secret, that was the first feature. And yeah, now I have two other scripts that are waiting that I'm kind of like, okay, I have to get ready to plan these and shoot these, and these are going to be a little harder than the last one, so it's a little nerve-wracking. You have to plan out like 6 months of planning, shooting, and then post-production. So
did you star in your movie?
I had cameo appearances in my movie.
Right.
I am one of the girls in the ballet class because I was the only actual ballerina in my movie. So I was shoved in there to kind of make it look good and to, you know, just make a little appearance and so people could see me. And it's actually funny because if you watch the behind the scenes for the movie, you see me after, like, still in my leotard behind the camera because I was also shooting. Right. And I'm in my leotard with my hair and my bun, and I'm still wearing ballet slippers, and I'm just filming.
That's cool.
It's pretty great. The behind the scenes are some of the best parts.
That's true. So you took ballet when you were younger? Is that what happened?
Wow. I was a ballerina, and I was a gymnast, and... So that's how you ended up as a go-go, right?
Yeah.
I get it all from that. I thank my mom all the time for all the money she put into that.
Yeah, can you imagine sending your little girl for ballet and she grows up to be a go-go dancer?
It's the best.
So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Kayla Jane Danger, and she's also queen of lesbian foot worship. In softcore sensual scenes. Wow. So what is your website again? You just gave it
MyDollParts.com.
MyDollParts.com.
Yes.
And so that is mainly you, and there's other girls too? Or?
It started out as a solo site, but now, you know, it definitely is a multi-girl site. I've got a lot of great girls on it. I still perform in most of the girl-girl scenes, or a lot of them, although there are scenes with other girls without me.
Right.
And lots of pictures of me. And I tell people it's pretty much, you know, if you want to see new naked pictures of me, this is the place to go, because I'm very picky about who else I shoot for.
Right.
So I like to keep my content mine. Yeah. So if you're aching and dying to see me naked, go to mydollparts.com and join.
Now, so you do girl-girl scenes, right?
Yes, but only softcore girls.
Only softcore. That's what I was going to ask, because I know even girl-girl can be pretty hardcore. Yeah. I mean, some of these girls are crazy. So now, so you've got some tattoos. Do you have like a sleeve? I mean, it looks like it's coming out of your...
I have a lot of tattoos on my arms, and eventually they'll be filled in. But I like taking my time. Like I said, I started when I was 15. So
wow.
I would like to continue getting tattooed as I'm older. I mean, my legs are... I'm going to keep those clean until I'm like in my 40s.
Why is that?
I make so much money off my legs right now. That's true, being clean, I want to keep those nice and, yeah, and I will never tattoo my ass because that would be blasphemy. That would be so terrible. That's just a no-no.
Even a little butterfly?
Not even close. Yeah. I have one of my lower back tattoos was done a little too low by my good friend Baba from Vintage Tattoo. It was while we were doing a radio show, actually, on Indie 103.1, and he's tattooing me, and I don't even realize until it's done. I'm like, that's below the thong line, you ass. Like, what a jerk. I was so pissed. I was like, nothing goes below that ever, ever.
So the movie Carrie's, what was it?
Carrie's
Secret. Because there's so much on you. I have to keep scrolling back and forth here. But Carrie's Secret, so that's a film that's available now, right?
Yes.
If people want to get it.
Yep.
It's like in like online.
Yeah, and like adult DVD videos. Empire and pretty much anywhere that you can buy adult DVDs, cool. you can find this full feature.
So you can actually sit back and relax and watch it.
You can sit back, relax, and watch it. Or you can skip to any of the, you know, any of the scenes. You can skip to the orgasms if that's your thing. Like, there are plenty of options for you to watch this movie, but it's a good long one. And if you're someone who's trying to introduce your partner, you know, your girlfriend, your wife into foot worship, this is a great movie. It's not scary. There's even a little, you know, light, very sensual bondage in it, but it's not what people think of when they hear that. It's just a really beautiful movie. And if your lady likes to, you know, if she even likes to get her pussy eaten, she'll like watching great oral sex in this movie.
Right. Okay, well, I can't wait.
So your specialty is foot fetish.
Yes. That would be, I would say, my number one. It was one of those things. I had I had two solo sites when I started. One was the softcore, like foot, legs, and ass. And the other one was, I would say, just slightly more hardcore. There were, you know, like, just harder pictures, and there was nudity and whatever. And I realized pretty early on that the foot site was doing better, even though there was no nudity, even though there, you know, it sold better. And the more I did it, I eventually was like, okay, I'm going to stop shooting for the other site now. And I'm just going to focus all my time and energy on the, you know, the site that really, I mean, I get the most out of it. I get the most out of it from my fans. I get the most out of it as far as, you know, my artistic abilities. I can really let myself go and be as creative as I want and make these gorgeous movies that I know people will appreciate rather than making stuff and being like, whatever.
Yeah. And it's probably because I think it's a niche, you know, where people, you know, so there's probably not as much of that as there was of the other stuff.
There's not as much of it for free. Right. Is what it really comes down to. Yeah. It's a lot harder to find. And now that I have like most of the tube socks in my, or the tube socks, sites in my back pocket, like to be like, okay, hi guys, I'm not submitting 15 DCMAs. These are the links. Take them down like immediately. If you want it, stay on my good side. And, you know, because it's not fun waking up on a Sunday morning and then spending your first like hour and a half taking down your, you know, pirated videos. So it's like every week for me.
Wow. So when you ask them, they actually take it down?
Yes. Luckily, there are a few sites that I've you know, made friends with, and they will take it down. It's the other sites. It's the ones that are run, like the non-tube sites that are actually making money and charging people for these downloads that are, you know, hosted in random countries in Europe or, you know, in Russia. Right. And there's really no policing them. You take it down and they go right back up.
Right.
Wow.
Like, it's the biggest, and there's nothing more depressing than literally seeing like every piece of content from your site on a site, and then you get it taken down. It's, you know, takes you all these hours, and then it's right back there.
I know. You know, I mean, sometimes
Such
I find
a dick
like,
move.
I know. Sometimes I find like websites of people that are trying to start a radio station like ours. And I see like they copy like a few paragraphs from our website and I get pissed. So imagine, you know.
I've had that too. There's a girl who straight up stole all the copy from one of my websites, like another performer, and just
They just copy-paste. I know. And that's the thing, though. So
You don't think
I can imagine when, I know, when it's right? work that you put in a lot of hard
and when
work
you put in that. Like I run and own my company myself, so people don't realize like this is my money that I'm putting in there. This is my time. I don't pay myself when I shoot.
Right.
I pay myself a salary to run the company and to perform.
Right.
But I don't pay my, like, I don't come home with a check at the end of a shoot. I work my ass off for, you know, potentially 15-hour day, and then I have to go home and edit for a few days. And people just think, like, oh, you're just whatever, like, rolling in money. But that's because I work my ass off. It's not because, like... And it's definitely not because people are pirating my stuff. And anyone that says that's just, you know, advertising, that's bullshit.
It is.
That okay, is total bull.
You mean that being on
that
the
being
tube
on a tube site,
site
is advertising?
Really? People I thought it was.
No, I mean, there's like maybe a 1%, you know, turnover for people that actually see something on a tube site and then go and join your website.
I think it's. I would think if it's a niche or something and you discover something new on there, you might actually go. You know, and that's what I was thinking. That's why that was my next question to you. Isn't it
I
actually
wish.
A good
I
thing
wish.
To put your logo, put your watermark on the video? Maybe, you know, cut out the end scene, the money shot, and put it up
well,
there.
Well, there's one tube site that I have, you know, uploaded. I had a deal with, and that I uploaded a few like little tiny clips of videos. And they are not so bad. It's like Foot Fetish Tube. They're a great site because they'll take your stuff off if someone else uploads your full videos. They're also smarter. And usually if you upload a video of a certain length, they assume that you've stolen it because who would put a full video up of their own?
Yeah.
That would just be ridiculous, which is something I think that the other tube sites should really think about as well. Like if it's over 3 or 5 minutes, you should probably just... deny it from being accepted. Like
that's true. Yeah.
They, you know, they say that they're trying to help us and whatever, and that they're looking out for us, but they're not. Like if they were, they would do something like that.
That's true. Yeah. And Charlotte, those tube sites are like YouTube, but for porn and stuff. You know, so people just
in case you didn't know.
No, Charlotte doesn't know. She's pretty. Nice. I have to teach her this stuff.
She should be careful. She goes onto like one porn site and somehow like the camera turns on. They're like, oh, she's cute. We'll take her.
So now, so you have the Cinemax movie. Is that going to be shown again? How could people see that one?
I believe it's going to be shown again. But the awesome thing is... it is actually coming out on DVD, Pleasure or Pain by Salman King. It's coming out on DVD. I believe it's July 8th is the release date. You can buy it on Amazon.com. It's actually available for pre-order right now. And it is available with Amazon Prime for all of you people that don't want to pay for shipping. and it stars Melina Morgan and me. And it's fantastic. And if you ever wanted to see the closest thing you'll see to me having sex with a guy, it's in that movie.
Really?
So
okay. So Pleasure and Pain, does that mean there's bondage and BDSM
see, okay,
and stuff
this
there?
Is the... there's kind of a misnomer. It's kind of a problem. Originally, the name of the movie was Kamikaze Love, which absolutely describes this movie because it's about addiction to love, addiction to sex, and kind of how the two get confused. And there is a little bit of, I guess, pain or, you know, a little bit of some kind of kinky stuff, but it's definitely not... what people think as far as it's not a bondage movie. It's really about love gone kind of crazy.
Oh, wow. Very interesting. I'd love to watch that. It's fascinating.
It's really fantastic. And it's Zalman King's last movie. And he's just, I think, a visionary when it comes to erotic cinema. And this was, you know, his final say in what erotic cinema is.
Wow.
And it's awesome.
Wow. So so going back, I want to fill in the hole. So you were in New York. What did you do next after that?
At what point
did you leave home?
I left home super early. And then I actually graduated high school early and went straight to college in New York. And then ditched New York and moved to California.
Wow. What did you take in college? Did you finish 4 years?
No, I did not. I went to college for fashion design. And then I went for illustration. I changed majors after I moved to LA.
Oh, nice. But you're definitely an artistic person.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Not a 9-to-5 corporate
no,
world.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. That was not going to be me. And then I, pretty soon after I left school, I started my company and I was teaching scuba diving, which is something I guess I could still do. I'm still certified to do so. So
cool.
And it's something I love. But I was doing that for a while kind of as a way to fill in the time in between like shooting. That was still when I was shooting for a lot of other people. Yeah. And then, yeah, and then I, ever since that, it was just building the company, building the company, building the company. And then last year we moved to Vegas.
Wow. So you moved the whole company to Vegas?
Absolutely.
You were here first, wow. Right?
Yes.
So is that because of how they're making it difficult to make films here for adults?
Kind of. It's a little less that because I don't shoot hardcore. And right. When I did shoot it, I actually, you know, I shot Carrie's Secret here in California. But as far as being a business and licensing, permits, taxes, Vegas is the place to be.
Yeah, it's like
let
heaven.
Me be real. It is like heaven after, yeah. You know, when you're like 26 years old and paying like 20 grand in taxes, you're like, okay, can I leave now and go somewhere else and pay less taxes, please? That's and true. But Vegas is so, like, even just the permitting for my business was so easy. Getting my business licenses, my city business license, was so much cheaper than in LA. Yeah. And, you know, for someone who's trying to build their business and keep their business growing, especially when, you know, yes, porn is growing, but it's also piracy is hurting it. So mm-hmm. You have to find your happy medium. And for me, Vegas was absolutely that happy medium.
Wow. So how long have you been in Vegas now?
About a little over a year.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. You like it there?
I love it.
Yeah, have you been there through the summer yet?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Last summer, 120 degrees. It was gorgeous.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
So you're a small businesswoman.
Yeah.
A really small businesswoman. Yeah. You know what you're doing. Are you constantly like thinking about the next step of how you can grow things?
And absolutely. You have to. But I mean, to me, it's my baby. It's always growing and it's always changing. And I love watching it. I mean, I never thought when I got into this industry that I would be nominated for an AVN or that I would be nominated for an Expos Award. And I got nominated for both last year. And
really?
That was
nice.
Like, I called my parents like first thing and I was like, I got nominated. Oh my God. Totally freaked out. I was so happy. And they were thrilled. They, you know.
Yeah.
They actually can't wait to watch the AVNs on Showtime just to, like, you know, see it and know that I was there and that I, you know, it was exciting, yeah. Especially to literally to be the only softcore performer, softcore website to be nominated is huge.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
You're nominated against because, people who are doing like DPs and, right. You know, no. You're just like, oh, well, that's
don't
cool.
Tell Charlotte what a DP is.
I know what that is.
A director of photography. Cool. So let's just go over everything again. So you have Pleasure and Pain,
yes.
Which people can
pre-order on DVD.
Pre-order on DVD. Mm-hmm. You have your website, mydollparts, mm-hmm. .com, and you can see your pictures, other girls, mm-hmm. and stuff there too. In fact, you know what? Let me click on this website so I can see what's going on here. Let's see what's doing. So, I see. Okay, so I can see the foot fetish stuff and things like that. So it's very cool.
Very wow, sexy.
You do. Yeah, you do have a lot of tattoos, but they're kind of like, I mean, the bottom part of your body has no tattoos at all. Huh?
I have one on my toe, one on my inner knee, and that's it.
Wow.
And they're very tiny, and no
the
one ever.
Inner knee, yeah.
I have people literally that have been foot fetish fans of mine for several years now that have no idea that I have a tattoo on my toe.
Really?
It's really faded, and it's just like, it's one of those things people just, no matter how close up the picture is, they just don't see it. Like, it's like they're paying attention to everything else, and they just don't even register that it's there.
Wow.
I actually, I'm going to be in, what is it? Oh my God, it's getting so close. Like 2 weeks now. I'm going on Gold Rush Rally, which it's going to be my fifth year going on this rally. It's the best, the most exciting luxury and exotic car rally in the country. It's so fantastic. And fans, you'll be able to come and meet me or take pictures with me and all the cars. In Vegas on May 31st and June 1st, we're going to be at the MGM. All the cars will be out in front of the MGM on June 1st. And we're actually leaving from there at like 8:30 in the morning. We've actually closed off part of Las Vegas Boulevard so that all of our cars can caravan out. So you're going to see, if you're going to be in Vegas, then you'll see about probably closer to like $20 million worth of cars just cruising down the street.
Really?
We're going to be in Denver June 2nd and 3rd. We're going to be in Chicago June 4th to 5th, Cleveland June 5th, and DC June 6th and New York on June 7th. We're going to be ending at Robert Graham on Bleecker Street, and that's going to be another huge shenanigans. So like the streets will be closed down, and it's going to be a million people in New York City just
sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So how do you fit into all that again?
I am the host and the spokesmodel of the rally.
Oh wow.
And I love it, obviously, because I've been doing it so long. I wouldn't keep doing it if I didn't adore it, but it's a rolling party. It's right. You know, people driving the cars that they love, that they work so hard to get and maintain and mm-hmm. you know, and beef up. And there are races, we go to tracks for track days, and I get to interview the drivers. We make a movie every year at the end of the rally of, you know, the entire experience. And we actually show the movie during SEMA. We have like a nice big premiere at the Brennan Theater at the Palms Hotel. And it's just, you know, it's the most amazing thing on earth. You have a bunch of people who come together from all over the world. Actually, we have teams from Germany, wow. from Austria. We have, you know, people literally from everywhere, Saudi, UK, and they come together, and for a week you're the best of friends, and you know,
very
that's
cool.
It's yeah. just the greatest thing, and very yeah, nice. I mean, that, to listen to the cars and listen to the music and party all night. It's
that's
the
reason
best.
To go to Vegas that weekend. Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, Kayla Jane Danger, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You guys can follow her. I'm sure the best way to find everything is just to Google her name. And no, really, because I mean, I'm like, I've given up on giving out like Twitters and Facebook and stuff. Who's going to remember that? You know, just Google the name. You'll find all of it. Yeah, exactly. So thank you so much for joining us. Much success with everything that
you
do.
Thank
you. There's still a lot I wanted to ask you about, but we're out of time.
I'll come back.
So, yeah, come back sometime, really. I mean, you're a lot of fun.
Thank
definitely.
You.
And you know, it's refreshing to see someone in the adult industry with actually a head on her shoulder.
Thank you.
Know? Yeah. Anyway, thank you everybody for joining us this morning. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.